Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Good. I got a good from Rick. Good to see you. So for those of you, as Pastor Jeff said, I am the Children Family Ministries pastor here at the church. So normally, on a normal Sunday, I am through that door, through another door, and I get to hang out with all of the amazing kids that you make call CPC home. We have a lot of fun over there, so thank you. It is an honor. Pastor Jeff, I'm sure, is enjoying his day off, but I love that I get to be with you guys this morning. If you're joining us online, thanks for joining us as well. So, as I said, I am the children's pastor, and for those of you that know, we had a pretty exciting week this past week. We hosted another week, or another year, I should say, of our online VBS. We had over 70 families join us, which may not sound like a lot, but a lot of our families at this church have a lot of children, so one family, that could be like six kids. So we are just super thankful for everything. I am believing that God did some amazing work in this next generation, literally across our city. We had families from Barhaven all the way over to like Rockland. So I truly do believe that God did a good work this week. If you thought of us, if you prayed for us, absolutely thank you. I so greatly, greatly appreciate it, and so does my team. Speaking of VBS, for those of you that have been paying attention to our announcements and my fun getup that I got to wear all week, our theme this year for VBS was totally 80s. Now, how many of you lived and or born were in the 80s? No one wants to raise their hand, because I'm sorry to say that was a long time ago. Now you're old enough to have a VBS themed after you. So we had a lot of fun. The big hair came out, the permy hair came out, the fun colors, the blue eyeshadow. We had a party, I will put it that way. And each day this week, we did something a little bit different. We taught the kids a word of the day, an 80s word of the day, and that jingle, oh my goodness, it sounds like an 80s TV show like jingle. It was annoying, it got stuck in your head. And we taught them four different words. We have 4 days of camp, so each day we taught them a different word. And I'll tell you what those words were. They were gnarly, motor, tubular, and dude. Yeah, right? You don't use those words anymore. Dude, maybe, but like, how many of you use tubular on an everyday occurrence? I don't. I mean, I did over the past week and a half, for the past couple months, but by golly, I think there's a reason it is no longer used. But they had a challenge every single day to use that word as many times as possible. And as I said, some of those words they don't get used anymore for good reason. And it's funny, over the years, as generations go, so we have the Gen Z generation growing up right now. And as generations come in and out, and you know, people grow up and grow old, words, phrases, sentences, they also come in and out of popularity. And the Gen Z generation, I'm not a Gen Z, I am a millennial. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But there are words that Gen Zs use that I do not understand. Don't get it. Two that I heard over the past little bit, instead of saying win, like W-I-N, they just say W. Like, does that make sense to you? No, doesn't make sense to me. And the one that got me, it's not that big of a deal. I was just like, someone, explain it to me. My 10-year-old niece actually explained it to me. It was big yikes. Instead of saying yikes, they had to add big to it, because yikes doesn't truly explain, oof, that's really awkward. They'd say big yikes. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to me? I don't get it. But c'est la vie, that is it. That is how things happen. In life, words come in and out of popularity. And some words you can say one way and it means one thing, or you can say it in a different sentence or in a different context and it means something completely different. Like the word sick, okay? My dad just got a new car, I should say, not that long ago. It's a tiny, bright orange MGB, I think. Not totally sure. I'm not a car person. Anyways, but the very first thing I said to him was, Dad, that car is sick. That is a cool car. Can't wait to come home and drive in it, even though it is standard and I probably will destroy your car. But it's sick. So sick in this context means it's cool. It's cool. It is a cool, cool car. Now, if you are a parent and you say the sentence in the morning, oh my goodness, My kid was so sick last night. Same word. Two totally different things, right? Your kid was actually like ill, not a good thing. Or the phrase, this is the last one, the phrase, killing it. You can say, oh my gosh, you're killing it. You're doing such a good job. You're killing it. Means you're doing a good job. Or you can say, oh my gosh, don't kill it. Don't kill it. Don't end probably the bug's life, I'm hoping. That's probably what I would do. Don't kill it. Same phrase, two totally different meanings. Words take on new meanings depending on the sentence or the context. And I was thinking about it this past week. It takes four words to change someone's life. Four words strung together to make a sentence that will change someone's life. Will you marry me? Or you can go the complete opposite direction. Four words will destroy your life. I want a divorce. Or you can say three words strung together that have the power to make someone cry. I hate you. Your words have power. And if you haven't figured it out this morning, we are going to be talking about lethal language. My first point this morning, if you are taking notes, is to wash your mouth. Yes, wash your mouth. So as I said, this past week we had VBS, and I like to remember things. I always put my remembering cap on as I tell the kids, and I think of crazy random things that I did growing up. And so in the context of VBS and in the context of getting ready for this morning, I was remembering of my VBSs growing up as a kid. There were several hundred kids running around a church, as you would imagine. My oldest sister, who is 7.5 years older than me, her and her friends, they were in high school at the time, they would always volunteer for VBS. So like getting to hang out with your big sister while hanging out with your friends, it was a lot of fun. I liked my big sister at that point in my life. I still do. Kyla, if you're listening, I love you. And so we got to learn about God. We had an incredible week playing games. There are eating yummy snacks. There are probably songs and memory verses that I teach your kids now because I've remembered them from all those years ago. But as I was remembering this week, I thought of a game that was very popular in the early 2000s, probably still is to this day, a little hard to do with social distancing, because the game is Telephone. How many of you have ever played Telephone before? Okay, so for those of you that didn't raise your hand, I'm gonna explain the game to you. It is extremely simple. For us, we had the 100-some-odd kids sit in a massive circle. You were literally shoulder to shoulder, kneecap to kneecap with the person beside you, so you can't necessarily play it today. But the leader, they would whisper a phrase or a sentence into a kid's ear, and then that person would whisper that sentence or that phrase into someone else's ear, and it would go on and on and on and on and on all the way around the circle until it got to the very last kid. And the very last kid would say proudly, confidently, what they were just told. Now, if you've ever played that game, there's a laugh for a reason. You know that if you have 100 kids sitting in a circle, that sentence, that phrase, will get lost in translation at some way, shape, or form. And so if we put it into the context of the lesson that we were learning on that specific week, they were teaching us about gossip and how harmful gossip is. And so let's put it into the context of gossip. Someone, in this case, the leader, sat in front of someone sharing a moment of confidence. They were sharing a truth with that person. And they said to them, hey, blah, 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 blah. And this person number two, says, oh, well, that's some juicy news. I'm gonna go and tell my friend. It's no big deal, no big deal whatsoever. So they go and pass it on to their friend. And then that person passes it on to their friend, and so on and so forth. And then, after some time, it gets back to the very first person who originally shared that truth. And they went, hold on a second. First of all, how did you hear that? Second of all, that's not the truth. Because in that line, in the context, we'll think of it as that game, you have 100 people in a circle. At some point, that truth, something gets missed. Something gets told instead of what it actually was. Something gets skipped over, added to it. and then it gets back to the ears of that person. Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word that they speak." Your words have power. You will give an account for every careless word that you speak. Let that one sink in. That's harsh. That's a hard one to think about. So you may say to yourself, "Oh, it's no big deal. I'm just gonna write this off. It's no big deal. I just wanna share some news with my friend while we're sitting down for coffee or maybe on the golf course playing golf. Or I'm just gonna pick up the phone, tell this person. It's gonna be super simple, no big deal. Sending it over a text message on any form of social media." You may write it off in your head as no big deal, but let me tell you this, gossip kills. I can tell you from firsthand experience, it is the reason why some people leave the church, because that innocent conversation gets back to the person they were originally being talked about. It's like a wildfire. Once that fire starts, it is very, very hard to stop. Before you speak to someone about something, you gotta ask yourself, is this harmful? Is this gossip? Should I be saying this? And if you have to ask yourself those questions, then you probably shouldn't say it. But it's a hard thing to break. We are humans. And I will tell you this, the enemy absolutely loves to use it as a weapon against us. He loves for us to spread those things because that will put bitterness and resentment into people's hearts. And that is the enemy's favorite thing, disunity among God's people. James 1 verse 26, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, will deceive himself and his religion is worthless." That's another doozy, that's another hard one. But you may be asking, okay, well, why does it matter? Gossip, a loose tongue, sows seeds of division. It sows seeds of division. It privately attacks your brothers and sisters, the people that you call family. It's not loving. And as a follower of Christ, we are called to love and we are called to bring unity and uplift people. The tongue, the thing you accidentally bite when you're super hungry and ready to eat lunch real fast, it has power. And you need to be careful with how you use your words. So let me ask you this question this morning. It's a tough one. I had to stop and ask myself this question this week. If the words you spoke appeared on your skin, would they glorify God? If the words you spoke appeared on your skin like Sharpie, would they glorify God? We need to learn to wash our mouth and watch our mouth at the same time. And we also need to learn to take out the trash. That is right. Take out the trash. How many of you have ever had someone say something harsh about you, something toxic about you? You don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to. Just think about it in your head. But I will get you to raise your hands for this one. How many of you have ever heard the expression, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? Yeah, that is a sentence you may have used in your time, used in your life. You may have heard it. But I'm here to tell you that it is not true. Not true whatsoever. Words hurt. And they, by golly, have the power to destroy not only you, but to destroy someone else. But you know what? I am also extremely thankful that our words have the power to heal people. And they have the power to heal others. Not only yourself, but other people in your life. Some of you may or may not know this, but several years ago, I was actually engaged to be married. It was a very exciting time in my life, as anyone would imagine. It was fun talking to your bridesmaids and picking out your dress and having, you know, all of those fun conversations. But that time in my life slowly shifted into becoming a very hard, very difficult season in my life. I remember clear as day, I can close my eyes and I can picture it. The afternoon before I called off my engagement, I was sitting in a counselor's office across from my then fiance, and we were trying to work on things that we needed to work on before we got married. And this specific afternoon, I was sitting there and these words were being spoken to me and about me. And I will be very honest with you. It felt like someone was taking a fiery arrow and shooting it at my chest. Multiple. Bam, 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 bam. And I felt stuck. I didn't know what to do. I felt crippled. I felt like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I felt so broken. But the next day, with God's amazing strength, with his love, and with his peace, I was able to take that very painful moment, those very painful words, and I was able to actually leave that relationship. And I said, you know what? I love you, but I gotta go. This is not working out for me. I can't do this anymore. Now, the point of me sharing a bit of my life with you guys this morning is to hopefully help you learn some points of the importance of leaning on God, the importance of listening to God, and guarding your hearts, how important it is to guard your hearts. You cannot control what someone says to you, but you can control how it affects you. Yeah? Okay? You cannot control what someone says to you in a moment of weakness, in a moment of bitterness, but you can control on how it affects you. And God so very graciously helped me walk through that toxic moment in my life, those toxic words, that traumatic experience for me. He helped me pack it up and put it to the curb, and I took out the trash. But several years ago, I was seeing a counselor, and I still am to this day. It is amazing to help you work through toxic words and things that are going on in your life. But my counselor was helping me work through my breaking off my engagement, and she helped me. We call it a game, but it's truly just a different mindset that you got to start living through. And we call it truth or trash. Okay, truth or trash. And it is extremely simple. It goes like this. Someone says something to you that is positive, that is uplifting, and that is consistent with God's word. We call that a truth. If someone says something to you that is inconsistent with God's word, it is trash. It is trash. So we pack it up and we put it to the curb. And so, okay, I'm going to test you for a second, okay? Someone says something to you that is positive, life-giving words, and you are like, this is a godly thing. This is not affecting me whatsoever. Is that truth or is that trash? That is truth. So what do? We believe it, we call it out, we embrace it, and we say that is a truth. I'm going to believe that. Now, if someone speaks hurtful words to you that are not consistent with the word of God, it is truth or trash? It is trash. We call that toxic language. We pack it up and we throw it out, and we don't let those toxic words come near our hearts. Now, there are days, still very much to this day, where I have to take a piece of paper and a pen, and I literally have to write out those toxic words. Because you know what? The enemy loves us to believe toxic words that maybe other people have spoken over you, you've spoken about yourself, or things that he has just put in your brain. So we got to write them down, we got to crumple it up, and we got to throw it out, and we got to take out the trash. But if you have that empty void in you, it's where the enemy continues to seep and grow. And so we need to sit down, and we need to probably sit down with our Bibles, and we need to write down truths. I believe this about myself. The Bible says this about me. I am loved. I am called. I am chosen. You got to write those down, and then you got to post them somewhere. If you write them on your phone, take a screenshot of it. Put it as your screensaver so you can see it every single day so that you are able to start to believe those words. Words have the power to lift you up. We need to guard our heart against toxic words. Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue can bring death or life. Those that love to talk will reap consequences." Your words have the power to build up or to tear down, to lift or to destroy, to bring life or to bring death, to bring love or to bring disunity. Your words that you speak can transform a life. So every chance you get, let's speak life-giving words. Now, not easy. The enemy loves to work and mess things up. It took a lot of work for me to pick those words up and to throw them out, to put them to the curb, to not let them affect me. And you know what? Probably everyone that can hear my voice this morning or is watching online, you've had a moment in your life where someone has said some toxic words to you. You've heard the gossip mill going, and or you've received harsh criticism about something that you really enjoyed doing and you've worked really, really hard on. Those are turning points for you. That is a turning point in your life. You may not have thought that has affected you, but I can tell you that it probably has. We need to guard our hearts, and we need to ask God to help us work through past hurts. Hey God, you gotta help me work through this past thing that I didn't think actually affected me. We gotta put those to the curb because they have no place in your life. If you let bitterness into your hearts, you will live out of a place of bitterness. And let me tell you this, nothing life-giving comes from a place of bitterness. No life-giving thing can come from a place of bitterness. So we got to take it out. We got to let go of it, and we have to allow God to work in our hearts. As we reflect on the words that people have probably spoken over our lives, we need to reflect on probably the fact that every single one of us has said something that has affected someone else. We need to think about that. We probably have all been involved in a gossip circle at one point or another in our lives. We are human. That is human nature. But you know what? That's where human nature, the enemy loves human nature. We are called to do better. We are called to be better people. And so we need to work hard to do better and to be better. Just because the people around you are talking gossip, they're talking about those things, doesn't mean you have to join in. Be the one to step in, stop the conversation, and help other people learn the power of truth or trash. Standing in the truth of God that he has spoken over your lives. Guarding your heart so that we can live full lives that God has called us to live. Loving his people. Don't let the enemy use your voice to tear people down. Don't let the enemy use your powerful voice to bring other people down. We need to be the people that speak life-giving words. We need to be that body of Christ that loves people, that affirms people. Ephesians 4 is a great book, but Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." How many of you have ever how do you personally feel when someone says something nice to you? You're probably like me, and you smile from ear to ear, even if you have a mask on. It's nature, it's habit. You smile from ear to ear, and you think about it for the rest of the day. Anyone? Just me? Okay, so there are some people that are like me out there. On your birthday, when people shower you with life-giving, positive words, "I'm so thankful for you. Hope you have an amazing day. Hey, I love you." How do you feel? You feel good. Words of affirmation is a love language for a reason, people. It may not be your main love language, but I can tell you this, that if you speak life-giving words to someone, anyone will feel loved and they will feel seen because your words have power. So why do we wait for a certain occasion to shower people with life-giving, loving words? There's a rule of life that we all need to start, a habit that we truly need to pick up. And anytime, it's this, anytime you think something positive about someone else, speak it out loud. Tell them. Pick up your phone. My phone's over there, but pick up your phone. Tell someone, hey, XYZ, whatever it is. Send a text message if you're not close and you're really awkward on the phone. Send them a text message. My favorite, write a note. Literally, piece of paper. Have you ever seen one of these before? Write them a note. It's the best thing on the planet. Everyone likes getting mail. Bills? No thanks. Fun mail? Absolutely. My mom would always say, hey, can you go get the mail? If you have bills, give it to your father. If you have fun mail, give it to me. Everyone wants fun mail. Get in the habit of writing people letters. It is so powerful. Or this may be a little bit uncomfortable, but get out of your comfort zone. If you see someone on the street and you think to yourself something positive about them, go and tell them. Hey, I really love your shirt. Hey, your hair is beautiful. Back in the day when we could see people's smiles, I mean, you can outside. Hey, you have a beautiful smile. That would make someone's day. That would make my day. So why do we rob people of a blessing by keeping it in? Why do we do that? I feel a little weird, but I would thank them. They're like, thank you. If someone came up to me and was like, your hair looks great today. Like, oh my gosh, thanks. Haven't washed it in 3 days, but I appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? It's life-giving words. Let's speak life-giving words to people. Your words can transform a life for better or for worse. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Those are toxic words. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Life-giving words. Proverbs 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Life-giving words. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Toxic words. A couple months ago, probably in isolation, let's get serious here. I was scrolling on Instagram, as one does when they're trying to occupy time and you've watched everything on Netflix. And I found a video. And honestly, to me, it encompasses the power of your words. You may have seen it. It was floating around Instagram and Facebook. And it was a mom. She sat her four kids down, I think, in this video, across from her at the table. And she said, kids, this piece of paper represents people. And they were like, okay, mom, what are you trying to get at here? And she said to her kids, I want you to say toxic words, hurtful words, to this piece of paper. And they were like, okay, sure. So they started going for it. I don't believe in you. Oh, I hate you. I wish you were never born. I wish we never got married. Oh my gosh, you will never be like your siblings. You are so ugly. You are so fat. You will never be able to reach that goal. No one cares about you. What happened to the piece of paper? Well, it's currently a ball. It's crinkled. So she said to her kids, okay, now apologize to this piece of paper. So they were like, okay, sure, mom. I'm sorry. You weren't supposed to hear that conversation. Hey, I'm sorry. Didn't mean what I said. Hey, sorry. If you work really hard, maybe you can do that goal. Sorry. 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 We're Canadians. How many times do you say sorry in a day? Sorry. Sorry. Now my question for you is, after apologizing to this piece of paper, is everything okay? No. Nope. This piece of paper, which represents people, was affected by those words, correct? Absolutely. This is a nice, crinkly piece of paper. You need to remember that your words have the power to bring healing or to bring death. We need to speak life-giving words to the people in our lives. The words you speak to yourself need to be also uplifting. How do you speak to yourself when you do something wrong? Oh, Haley, you screwed up again. Why did you do that? You're useless. No. Hey, Haley, you messed up. What can we do better? How can we do better? I wouldn't speak like that to someone else. If someone did something that I did, I would not speak to them the way I speak to myself. So we need to learn to speak positively to others, but also to yourself. Be gracious to yourself. Speak to people the way that you want to be spoken to, and also speak to people the way you teach your kids to speak to others. If you heard your kid say something horrendous to someone, you'd be like, excuse me, what did you just say? No. So don't say it yourself. Don't say it yourself. Once something is posted on social media or communicated in any way, shape, or form, it can't be taken back. You can, and you 100% should apologize to the paper or the person. But once something is said, it can never truly be undone. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone that builds others up. Someone that speaks life-giving words and builds others up. It is simple. Simple, okay? Simple. Gossip, criticism, and negative talk, they destroy yourself and others. So we need to be reminded that our words have power. I know I have said it over and over and over again, but you need to be reminded that your words have power. When you are tired and you just let something slip, that word has power. You never know what someone is dealing with. When you're walking down the street, even the people in your own lives, you never know what someone is dealing with. So we need to stop that toxic language. We need to stop that hurtful communicating, that gossip circle. We need to step in and we need to stop it. We need to help others learn and yourself learn the power of truth or trash. Learning that is a toxic word. I gotta guard my heart. I don't believe that. I do not believe that about myself. Don't let the enemy put things in you that you don't need to learn or know or believe about yourself. We need to remember that you will give an account for every careless word that you speak. That's a hard one to think about, but you gotta think about it. You will give an account for every careless word that is spoken. But you know what? You also need to remember that you serve a good, good, good God who loves you so, so much. He is beside you when you mess up. He is right there beside you being like, hey, I got you. He died on the cross for you. So we were talking about earlier with Pastor Beth. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. He knows you are not perfect. He knows you were going to mess up. And yet he still did that and he is still beside us. So you got to remember, he loves you. He's beside you when you mess up. His mercies are new every morning. That's just like right there. His mercies are new every morning. When you mess up, his mercies are still new every morning. His grace is poured out for you every morning. He's always beside us when we mess up. He's there to guide us through whatever we are walking through. He wants us to be the person he has called us to be. And so he will help us, however that looks, he will help us become that person we need to be. In our language, in how we act, he wants us to be his people that are loving, that are uplifting. So I'm going to leave you with this. Your words have power. They have the power to build others up or to tear others down. And if your words, the words you spoke, appeared on your skin, would they glorify God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. And Father, we thank you that even though we mess up day in and day out, your mercies are new every morning. Father, I just pray you will be with every single person that is in this room that is watching online. I pray you will help them with their words, how they navigate their days with the people in their lives, the people that they communicate with every single day. Help them to be reminded that their words have the power to bring life or to bring death. And I pray we will be a body of Christ that uplifts and loves the people in our lives, even when they're driving us a little bit crazy. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for all that you are going to do in our lives this week. We give you all of our praise in your name. Amen.